All right, welcome to this special report about this very interesting alien object that is hurtling through our solar system right now. It's called 3I/Atlas. 3I, like third eye, isn't that interesting? Classically, people think it's just a giant rock. Okay, well, giant rocks can still do a lot of damage if they impact with the planet. But there's one Harvard-trained astrophysicist named Avi Loeb. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Avi Loeb. And he published a scientific paper that supposes that it might be alien technology. Now, this is not some lightweight guy, just to be clear. And I'm quoting from an article by Jeff Childers here from coffeeandcovid.com. But I've also brought up the science paper from Harvard, harvard.edu. I've got the preprint paper here. But this guy, Avi Loeb, he's the former chair of the Harvard Astronomy Department, former member of the President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology, the lead scientist of the Galileo Project, and he says that this might be an extraterrestrial object that's designed to destroy Earth. Okay? So how does he arrive at that conclusion? Well, I should say that's not his conclusion for sure. It's just a possibility to be considered. I want to be clear about that. I don't want to misrepresent his paper. He's saying that we should consider this possibility because there are some very strange things about this. Essentially, he argues that there is a non-zero possibility that this 3I/Atlas is actually a weapon that's intended to destroy the Earth. So from his paper, I'm quoting from just the second page here, evidence for the hypothesis. He says, it appears that besides the fact it is clearly on a hyperbolic trajectory that possesses a non-zero speed at an infinite distance from the sun, there is a further extremely unusual feature of the 3I/Atlas trajectory, which is that its orbital plane is tilted only slightly from the ecliptic by about 5 degrees and is retrograde. This means... Now, retrograde means it's orbiting in the... Well, it's not really orbiting, but it's traveling in the opposite direction of Earth's motion through the orbital plane around the sun. So it's the exact opposite direction. Why does this matter? Well, as the scientist says, quote, this means attempts by humanity to intercept it, or even more difficult, to rendezvous with it, are extremely challenging, if not impossible, with chemical rockets. Yet, nonetheless, as we shall see, it allows 3I/Atlas to intercept certain key target planets with relative ease. And furthermore, a low ecliptic tilt at a distance from the sun would enable an ETI, extraterrestrial intelligence, I believe is what he means, through astrometric measurements to determine the orbits and masses of the solar system planets, allowing it to prepare an optimal approach strategy to the solar system. The likelihood for such a perfect alignment of the orbital angular momentum vector around the sun for Earth and 3I/Atlas is, and he gives an equation here that ends up at 2 × 10⁻³. So what is that? I guess if you convert it to a percentage, it's 0.005%. Okay. I think he means percent. I don't know. I'm not an astrophysicist, so I'm not sure how they always write these papers. So what the scientist is saying is that this large, fast-moving object appears to be surveying our solar system. And it's also very large. It's currently believed to be around 20 kilometers in diameter. So that's massive. And if it were to impact the Earth, a 20-kilometer impact, yeah, that would take out continents. Yeah, that might be a planet-ending, you know, extinction-level event impact. I suppose the velocity matters and the density of the object, etc. But it's big and it's moving very rapidly. So the retrograde plane means that it's moving in the opposite direction of the other orbital, the orbital planes of Earth and the other planets. So that's highly unusual. It's also moving at a very high velocity. But that's not all. There's way more to this. It's going to pass very close to the sun, as if it's designed to use the sun's motion and gravity in a, not a slingshot effect, but a braking effect. So you may be familiar with the slingshot effect. If you approach a planet that itself has a high relative velocity to its orbital plane, then by accelerating into a very shallow orbit around that planet, you can actually gain velocity and it will slingshot your craft back around the other side, and you'll be moving much more rapidly, much higher velocity than before. But that can also be done in reverse. If you approach the planet from the opposite side compared to its orbital plane motion, you can actually use it to slow down, a braking effect. And this is called the Oberth maneuver. Hermann Oberth, apparently he's a historical significant figure in rocket science. I've never heard of him before, but I'm not an astrophysicist. The reverse Oberth is the braking maneuver. So the Oberth maneuver is the slingshot maneuver. I want to be clear about that. But you can do a reverse Oberth, which slows you down. And since this large rock is heading towards the sun, and it's doing so in a retrograde path that could cause it to rapidly brake on the opposite side of the sun where we cannot see it. And this is exactly what the scientist warns about. He says, referring to the sixth row of table one, we find a possible motivation. Since the optimal braking strategy to stay bound to the sun for high thrust propulsion is a reverse solar Oberth, where all the thrust is imparted at perihelion. So that's the, around the sun. It's the reverse slingshot effect around the sun. Thus, any maneuvers of this kind would be obscured from Earth observation, allowing a surprise arrival on Earth to be conducted. So, not only is it on track to do this reverse braking around the sun, but then after the sun slows it down, it would slingshot it at a lower velocity directly toward Earth, potentially where we could not see it because we're looking toward the sun. Like, you can't spot a 20 kilometer wide object coming at you right out of the sun, because every time you try to look at it, you're looking at the sun. This is like World War II pilots, in the air battles in the Pacific between the Japanese and the Americans. What was the most effective maneuver was to line up so that when you dive, like the Japanese Zero pilots, they would dive towards the American planes with the sun behind them so that the American pilots couldn't see the Japanese Zeros coming in because the sun was blinding them. It's the same thing here. So this possibly extraterrestrial object would be very difficult to see. And at that point, of course, it would be far too late to be able to do anything about it. I don't know what velocity that might be. But this scientist shows that there would have been a way to intercept this object by launching a rocket from Earth on July 9th of last year. Right. And if you launched it July 9th of last year, then let's see, you could achieve a relative velocity of 93 kilometers per second, and you could intercept 3i Atlas. Okay, but that window is gone. Now, the path that this object is on brings it closest to Earth on December 20th of this year, but it's not that close. it's actually the, it hits what, 1.8 AUs. So an AU, astronomical unit, this is a standard unit of distance in astronomy, and I'm looking it up, it's 93 million miles, roughly, or 150 million kilometers. Okay, so this is going to be almost 300 million kilometers away from Earth on its current trajectory on December 20th of 2025. But if it performs a reverse Oberth maneuver around the opposite side of the sun outside of our view, we wouldn't know it until, I don't know, maybe sometime around Christmas, we'd be like, hey, this object was supposed to fling itself around the sun, and now it's gone. We don't see it. Where did it go? Yeah, it's because it's headed straight for you. Possibly, you know, that's the possibility that this scientist is talking about. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying, I'm not making a prediction that, you know, on Christmas, you know, giant space rock aliens are going to invade. And neither is this scientist, Avi Loeb. He's not saying that either. But he's saying that it's highly suspicious, the path of this object and how it's just, it just happens to be, it picked the perfect path to use the sun, the sun's gravity, in order to come very, very close to at least three planets in our solar system. And he even charts the distance from Venus, and it approaches Venus at 0.65 AUs. It approaches Mars at 0.19 AUs. That's starting to get very close. And then Jupiter, 0.36 AUs. So, see, that's what's so shocking about this. It's what the scientists are pointing out is somebody chose the perfect path to take this 20 kilometer object through our solar system to where it can do very close flybys of at least three planets, Earth not being the closest one, but Mars and Jupiter and Venus all being very close, and then Earth being 1.8 AUs. But of course, it could alter its trajectory, you know, based on, you know, thrusters or alien engines or whatever it's got. Who knows? I'm giving her all she's got, Captain. You know, the dilithium crystals are melting down. You know, or whatever alien version of that might be. So now, this isn't some just, you know, crank talking about this. He's got a paper on it. You can find it. It's actually, it's on harvard.edu. Let me give you the title. It's called, Is the Interstellar Object 3I/Atlas Alien Technology? ? Okay, that's the name, the title of the paper. Now, a couple of things that are interesting to me about this. If our governments wanted to fake an alien invasion, you know, the cosmic false flag event that we've talked about, this would be an effective story to put out there, to have like a backstory, a cover story for that false flag, wouldn't it? So maybe, and this is just a theory, maybe there's some kind of effort to try to legitimize this within academia for that purpose. Who knows? That, I mean, admittedly, that's a stretch. And I'm not accusing the scientist of that, Avi Loeb. I'm not accusing him of being part of some kind of deliberate deception. From what I can tell, he's just given this a very rational analysis. The second point here to consider is biblical. And as you know, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed by giant flaming rocks falling out of the sky. And as I think most Christians believe, that God destroyed those towns because of all their sin and evil. And if you read the book of Revelation, which I have read and taught at least a dozen sermons on the book of Revelation, and I think I'm one of the loudest voices today saying with certainty that the book of Revelation, the seven trumpets, describes seven comet impact events. It's abundantly clear. There's There's really no other honest reading of the book of Revelation. The seven trumpets, the seven bowls, and the seven seals are all describing comet impact events. I mean, I've even done detailed articles citing all the passages in Revelation and lining up the trumpets with the bowls, etc. It's abundantly clear. I mean, it even says, oh, you know, giant flaming rocks falling out of the sky, and then the dust, you know, covers the sky, and then the moon and the sun become dim and dark, as dark as sackcloth, etc. You know, and there are passages in Matthew 24 and elsewhere. I've cited passages in Joel and Isaiah and Old Testament, you know, that very clearly describe comet impacts that destroy human civilization. Actually, the seventh trumpet flattens every mountain, shakes the earth totally, like, flat. I don't mean flat earth flat. I mean the crust becomes like liquefied so that there are no more mountains and there are no more islands even in the ocean. It mentions that in the Bible. No wall will stand, no city stands, everybody's dead, and you know, and then everybody's lifted up for judgment, etc. It's like the simulation is over. And I've even shown many, many videos of actual comet impacts as well as simulated comet impacts. And if you want to read all the scripture of this, I've actually put it all together for you on naturalnews.com. And let me see if I can find the correct article for that. Yeah, here it is. Just go to naturalnews.com and search for stunning visualization of the seven trumpets in the book of Revelation. And it goes through. I also used AI image generators to generate the images based on the biblical scripture. And in fact, let me show you. Let's see, the sixth, the seventh trumpet. Yeah, oh, yeah, these are some very interesting images. But there's a video that I've also cited before in many of my sermons. It's a video called The Asteroid Impact Comparison. It was created 3 years ago by Metaball Studios. And it shows what would happen using scientific data of asteroids of different sizes. And it just so happens that they've run a simulation for an asteroid impact of an asteroid that's 20 kilometers in diameter. That's the size of the I3 Atlas here, okay? So I thought I would play this for you. So here we go. The crater diameter would be 200 kilometers, and this is going to be a simulation hitting the city of Paris. So for those of you who are Parisians, definitely hope this does not happen, but let's check it out. Here we go. So as you can see in that impact video, if it were to hit Paris, you know, there goes pretty much all of, certainly Western Europe is just a fireball. But it also, it opens up, the crater is 200 kilometers wide, but it's also very, very deep. And the depth of that crater, as you even saw in that video, shows all kinds of, you know, fire. Sort of like an oven opening up in the earth. And so I want to read for you scripture from Revelation chapter 9 of the fifth trumpet as we replay that video. So let's do that. To my editor, play the video, but turn down the volume so I can read on top of it. Here we go. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And then the fifth bowl. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and did not repent of their deeds. So that's all the fifth trumpet and the fifth bowl. Now, remember that the trumpets and bowls mostly go together. Well, actually, they all go together. The seals don't always line up perfectly, but the trumpets and the bowls do. And the fifth trumpet is not the largest one. The sixth trumpet's even larger. And the sixth trumpet destroys the Euphrates River, destroys the Middle East. The sixth bowl, Revelation chapter 16, verse 12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up. You know, it goes on. And then the seventh trumpet is the end of life as we know it on earth. And what's been interesting to me about the seventh trumpet destroying the earth is that the 24 elders who, quote, sat before God on their thrones, they fell on their faces and worshiped God. They thanked him for destroying the earth. And from Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, it says, "We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth." Got it? Matthew 24. "Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken." And it all makes perfect sense in the Bible if you realize that when you're reading and it says the Son of Man is coming, that's a giant space rock sent by God. Notice it doesn't say the Son of God. And notice that in Revelation chapter 19, it never says Jesus Christ is flying on a white horse out of the sky. Actually, it's describing giant comets coming out of the sky. I'll just read that passage for you. This is Revelation 19, verse 11, that all Christians are taught that this is Christ on a white horse flying out of the sky, okay? Never mentions Christ in this section. But it does say the following: "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse," okay? White horse is the fiery white, you know, space rock coming out of the sky on fire, intersecting the atmosphere. "And he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." Now, why does it call the comet "he"? Because in these times, all comets were believed to have faces. This was depicted in paintings, like 16th century paintings. They always gave faces to comets because they thought the comets were angels or gods. That's what they thought. They didn't have, obviously, knowledge of astronomy or astrophysics or anything like that. So they always personified comets. And comets were, you know, very well known throughout history. It's all in the art, even the ancient cave art. "His eyes were like a flame of fire." Yeah, I'll bet, because it's on fire. "And on his head were many crowns." Yeah, that's because these spikes and light rays appear when a comet enters the atmosphere. "He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." See, so his name is the Word of God. In other words, God's promise. God promised to destroy evil. You see? And why is a robe dipped in blood? Because many of these comets, they are fiery red in front. They can be red, orange, or yellow, depending on the chemical makeup of the comet. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. So what is that? Well, they're not horses. Those are smaller rock fragments, also on fire, coming out of the sky. But it looks like an army approaching from the distance, if you're looking up in the sky. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. Well, what's the sharp sword coming out of his mouth? Those are gaseous eruptions or ejections that very frequently happen when comets are superheated, and then suddenly everything's boiling off or exploding. And some comets, of course, have an air burst, which can cause tremendous damage. We've seen those in history. We've even got video of some of those. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. Yeah, iron core is very common for these rocks. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Well, the winepress refers to a very specific region of Israel and Jordan, even goes up into southern Lebanon with the mountain range there. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, that passage is taught to every Christian that that's Jesus Christ flying out of the sky on a white horse to save humanity. That's not at all what it says. It actually, once you understand the context of the book of Revelation, it's a giant comet coming out of the sky to destroy humanity. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And then the elders cheer the destruction, the end of human civilization. So I'm not saying that that's going to happen this Christmas. I don't even know if the book of Revelation, I mean, who knows? What's been altered or lost in translation, right? Or where did these visions really come from? Who was talking to John of Patmos? I mean, we don't know all those answers. But I can tell you that an honest reading by someone who has not been indoctrinated over so many years by, you know, Bible school training, an honest reading shows that the book of Revelation describes a series of comet impacts. In fact, there's a whole book on this called The Comets of God by Jeffrey Goodman, Science Meets Scripture. And that's actually where I first learned a lot of this, but I've studied it through other books and other sources as well along the way. And it doesn't mean that this rock, this I-3 Atlas rock, is sent by God. But if God were to send a rock, it would have a very deliberate path. It would, you know what I mean? It would likely be very noticeably different from a natural phenomenon. And that's what Avi Loeb is pointing out here, that this looks, shall we say, it looks like the rock is intelligent design, or its path, its vector and velocity through our solar system is intelligently chosen, perhaps. That's the best way to say it. So he's asking, is it extraterrestrial? Well, you could also ask, was it sent by God to collide with Earth? Is God fed up with Earth? Is this the Sodom and Gomorrah treatment for the whole planet? 20 kilometers will do a number, you know, 20 kilometer diameter. That'll do a number on the planet. You know, that would collapse the food supply for many years. That would kill at least 95% of the existing human population. It would reset the biosphere. It would basically be a great reset for life on Earth. Now, whether you agree or disagree with my reading of the book of Revelation is fine. I don't demand that anybody agree with me. I only ask that you read it. Read it again. Read it yourself. Read it honestly. Read the words that are there instead of always remembering what you were taught about it. Just like actually read it as if it were your first time reading it. And you'll find that it's describing comet impacts very clearly in the best language that John had at the time, given that he wasn't an astronomer and they thought comets were angels and gods. They did, or angels anyway. Now, I've interviewed other people like John Moore who are talking about like Planet X, and is there a dark planet that is heading towards Earth that's going to have a flyby, which will have catastrophic gravitational effects on Earth. It would perhaps jostle our planet a little bit out of its orbit or alter our axial tilt versus the orbital plane, which would obviously change the position of the, well, the relative position of the equator to the sun and the poles, etc. You talk about climate change. Yeah, try changing the tilt of your planet by 15 degrees and see what happens. Yeah, it'd get real interesting. Tidal waves and tsunamis, maybe from the gravitational effects, all kinds of volcanoes and this and that, you know, earthquakes, tectonic plate shifts, etc. Okay? You know, cats and dogs sleeping together, you know, mass chaos. Is that how that line goes? Some of you remember Bill Murray saying that. Anyway, that's a line from Ghostbusters, obviously. But it would be bad, okay? I'm not saying that's going to happen even in our lifetimes. I don't know. I'm just saying it's interesting that we now have a mainstream scientist asking if this 20-kilometer object is alien technology because its path through our solar system appears to be well planned. It appears to be intelligently chosen. Okay? That's interesting. And if it is going to impact Earth, there's nothing we can do to stop it, obviously, and try not to be within 1,000 miles of impact and make sure you've got like 2 to 3 years of stored food. Because that's an extinction level type of impact. Earthquakes, I mean, it would be every horrible thing. Hey, maybe, remember the Japanese manga artist that was predicting things that would happen on July 5th? Remember that? Well, she was seeing that there was going to be a whole new continent emerge that would connect, Japan and Taiwan and all the way to the Philippines. I mean, wow, talk about Earth shift. That's major. Well, maybe she did see it. She's got the date wrong somehow. Maybe it's not July 5th. Maybe it's January 5th. Who knows? Don't let it change your day-to-day planning. You know, always be prepared for any kind of disruptions. Don't live in fear over cosmic events. Hey, if God wants to destroy the planet, you can't stop God from destroying the planet. He's going to do it. The important part is to make sure that you've lived your life as a good person, that you've actually lived a Christ-like life, which would mean, for example, not supporting genocide in Gaza, you know, things like that, not being a horrible person who's a pro-war. So if you think that a giant, either God-derived space rock is going to collide with Earth this Christmas, or aliens are going to invade Earth, well, use the time between now and Christmas to be a better person. How about that? That's the Health Ranger's simple takeaway. Just use the time you have remaining to be a better person. And then if we're wrong and nothing happens, and then you know, you go into 2026 and you're like, oh, well, I'm a better person now. So awesome. So I guess we have another year to be a better person. That's great. See, there's no downside to just choosing to live as a better person. You know, have more compassion, have more kindness, help more people. Be a good person. That's your pathway to heaven. No matter what happens on Earth, no matter what happens in your life, you know, any of us could die on any day. You could be sitting at a stoplight with your car and then some cement truck makes a left turn too sharply or something, and the cement truck falls on your car, you know? Like, oh, just like that, huh? Yep, just like that. You can't control that. You can't control every cement truck driving around town or every bridge or whatever, every exploding neutron star. You can't control all that. Just focus on being a good person and you'll be fine. Remember, your soul is bulletproof. Your soul can't be destroyed by comets or bridges or cement trucks either. Think about that. All right, in wrapping this up, I'm going to play some more videos for you of some actual comet videos that I think you will find to be fascinating. Just a couple of them. And these are real. These are real videos. Just so you get a sense of the awe and the power and why in Revelation they're described as like booming voices of angels and everything. Yeah, because they make a loud boom. Big boom. But check out these videos and thanks for listening. Thank you for supporting us at healthrangerstore.com. And we've got a new batch of turmeric in stock now. After a long search, the supply chains are really becoming more difficult. And turmeric, as you know, is often contaminated with lead. So of course, we do mass spec elemental testing for lead, cadmium, you know, arsenic, mercury, and other elements. We found an ultra clean batch and we have it available for you now. I have it on my desk. We've got turmeric root powder. Certified organic, laboratory tested, identity confirmed, all that. E. coli tested, microbiology, you name it. We've got it all for you at healthrangerstore.com. We do not have turmeric tincture back in stock. We're working on that, but we do have the turmeric root powder. And as you know, I include turmeric root powder in my own smoothie, which is why it's orange. It's why my dental work turns orange, which freaks out the dental hygienist as well. But that's another story. Okay, so if you want really good, high quality, ultra clean turmeric root powder, we've got it now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have, yeah, there's the screen showing it to you. We also have astaxanthin. Astaxanthin, Hawaiian astaxanthin, we have it right now in stock. Of course, this is known as the king of carotenoids. This is a fat soluble, super potent antioxidant. And it's got a multitude of uses and benefits and support mechanisms for human health. Athletes use it. Lots of people use it. This is also what turns the flesh of salmon slightly pink. That's actually the astaxanthin that they're getting from their dietary sources. And it's believed to help support the natural athleticism and the endurance and stamina of salmon. That's just one of the many benefits of the king of carotenoids. Now, astaxanthin is in a bottle because it's sensitive to light, but it's very potent. You only need either 2 or 4 milligrams per day. We've got that available for you right now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have a supply of NAC in stock, N-acetylcysteine, which of course helps support the body's normal detoxification process with outstanding liver support and glutathione and so much more. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. Turmeric root powder, astaxanthin capsules, as well as NAC, all in stock right now, plus hundreds of other items that are also certified organic, laboratory tested, non-GMO, And we don't use synthetic, you know, colors, fragrances, fillers, garbage, none of that stuff. Nothing like that. Ultra clean products for home, for health, for personal care, for nutrition, and also for long-term food storage, for emergency preparedness. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support. We appreciate you very much. We couldn't do this without you. Thanks for watching. Take care.